Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. This November, residents of the city of Syracuse will be electing a new mayor. And vying for the Democratic nomination in that race are the three candidates who are joining me today. The primary election is Tuesday, September 12th. Between them, the candidates have held numerous prior positions in government. Juanita Perez-Williams was most recently regional director of the New York State Department of Labor. Joe Nicoletti currently serves as a Syracuse Common Counselor at Large. And Marty Masterpol is the city's auditor. This is a debate of sorts, hopefully more a conversation that emphasizes contrasts. There won't be opening or closing statements or timed responses. But with three candidates and only a half hour, I've asked each candidate to be brief and to the point and have warned them that I'll intervene if they are not. As always, I wish we had more time. Well, I want to welcome all three of you, and I want to thank all of you for making this conversation so easy to arrange.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, your positions on specific issues like government consolidation and the future of I-81 have been registered several times in other media outlets. I want to try to ask some different kinds of questions, more generally perhaps, although those specific issues may enter into the discussion and you may want to weave them in. But let me start, Marty Masterpol, let me start with you. What's the most important difference, between you and your two opponents in this race?
Well, I believe that I come from Syracuse. I've been here my entire life. I have a young family. I'm a businessman. I have government experience. I believe I have the most knowledge of any of the candidates when it comes to city finances, which are going to be vital moving forward. So, you know, having my wife and I have been here 17 years. I've grown up my entire life in Central New York. My passion is here. And what separates me is, you know, I think I'm uniquely qualified with a young family, with a business background, and with the government background to move the city forward.
Juanita Perez-Williams, what would you say to that? What do you think is the most important difference between you and your two opponents?
Effectuating change. I am not a politician. I am driven and result-oriented. I'm a former lieutenant commander in the United States Navy and was corporation counsel to the city of Syracuse, advising our mayor, our common counsel, and our city agencies. I was known for getting results. I did it with the Department of Labor, bringing down our unemployment down to a lower rate than before 2007. I did it with the city in purchasing housing and making it available for many of our citizens. I did it with I-81, closing it down and saving millions with the city. I am result-oriented. I have a training that allows me to build exceptional teams. I know what it's like to work with people who you don't select, and unleashing the power of them to be able to be positive and have good mindsets for the city of Syracuse. So I am able to effectuate the change that my opponents merely talk about.
And Joe Nicoletti, the same question. What is the most important difference between you and your two opponents?
Well, I believe I have the experience and temperament for this office. I've spent my entire career, Grant, starting here at Maxwell, in working in government. And I have been an agent of change throughout my career. I stood up and passed term limits when others were afraid to do it. I proposed and passed minority business enterprise law. I stood up for mandatory smoke detector laws, and I have never backed away for a fight that had to do with representing those that are least fortunate in our community. I additionally believe that through my relationships that I've established in Albany, in Washington, and on a local level, that I bring the right temperament and experience to do the job.
Okay, so I want to make a general observation here. All three of you emphasize some combination of your background, your knowledge, the bases of your knowledge, and the results or your records in your past positions that you've held. So I want to put this question out there again to the three of you, whoever wants to jump in first, and say, all right, in a sense, all of you are looking backward in answering that question, and I understand why that would be the approach you would take. But is there something that you are different from the other two candidates in terms of what you would do, the positions you would take, the priorities you would emphasize that you think is different? I want you to look forward now instead of backward.
Grant, I'd like to start.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm the only candidate that has already published what this next mayor does the first 100 days in office. 70 okay. initiatives, 9 categories, focusing on all of the issues and concerns that city residents want to be dealt with today. Our schools, our businesses, crime, poverty, the environment, veterans. I've already published the things that need to be done and will be done as soon as we get into office.
So the difference there is you've put forward a plan and the other two have not. Marty Masterpool, you were going to jump in there too. Let me get you.
I am, and we have a 365-day plan. Because it's not on our website doesn't mean that there's not plans for the city, quite bluntly. But let me move forward and say that I think I did touch upon it. I have a young family. You know, I have an 11-year-old son, 7-year-old daughter. Who better to serve the city of Syracuse than somebody who's looking forward? Well, I want to look forward for the interest of the city of Syracuse as a whole. In a selfish manner, I want to look forward to the city of Syracuse for my young okay. family.
I'm looking for specific differences looking forward. So, Joe Nicoletti, let me see if you want to jump in on this one.
Sure. I think that I can hit the ground running on day one. I've worked with 5 mayors, and in fact, I've served as a deputy to one of them as director of operation. In addition to that, I do have a plan. It's not a 100-day plan. It's not a 100-point plan, but it really is a plan. It talks about improving our neighborhoods through consolidating different offices within the city.
Here, well, let me jump in. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to push just one last time, and then I'll give up and go to another one. Is there an important policy difference between the three of you? I still haven't heard one. What would you be doing differently than your other two opponents in terms of what you would be proposing, what you would be for or against, anything out there other than, because you're putting forward pretty general visions to me. I understand, Juanita Perez-Williams, that you have put forward the plan, but then what's the difference between that and what you're hearing from your opponents on the trail?
Well, quite frankly, it's a vision. We have no vision in this city. Every time someone starts to talk about an idea, they push back on why we can't pay for it, where would you get the revenue? And I get that. But we have to have a vision. People are waiting for the plan. What is next? And what I talk about is the ability not only to effectuate change, but to also talk about what city residents have been asking for and can we provide that to them.
So let me jump in then with Joe Nicoletti, Marty Masterpool in response to that, and then I'm going to drop this one. Is there a difference in this vision that she is referring to and your vision? Are there some important policy differences here? Maybe you're all three Democrats. There aren't any. I don't know. Tell me.
Well, I think my vision is different because I have the experience and I know how to get it done.
All right. So now we're going back. All right. Let me ask this next question. Juanita Perez-Williams, I'll come back to you with this. What's the most important specific thing that you would have liked to have seen the Minor administration do differently than it did?
I would have liked to have seen the administration focus on our kids. I feel that this is the essential key to our future in this city. And by just looking at our schools, we've seen over the last several years no action, nothing to try and be there for these kids and all of the issues that they face. 70% of them are living in poverty. So I would offer that we needed to have a mayor who stood up, advocated, was not so divisive in trying to gain the revenues that we need, the resources we need to take care of our families and our kids in their neighborhoods.
Joe Nicoletti, same question. What's the most important thing that you would have liked to have seen the Minor administration do differently?
I think it would have been trying to bring us together as a community. Because I believe that through unity and through working together that we can accomplish so much more rather than fighting. I believe that the money that we've wasted on lawsuits and the petty bickering has done nothing to improve the quality of life, particularly of those at the bottom of the economic wheel. And I think that we need to focus on that.
And Marty Masterpool, same question.
You know, I think the mayor concentrated and discussed infrastructure and infrastructure improvements, paving roads, our water systems, et cetera, calling to light the problem because there is a problem. But today I went over the state fair for the opening ceremonies. You drive over Bridge Street and it's gorgeous because the state government invested in Bridge Street and in Solve New York. They can invest in Syracuse, New York, if we are willing recipients in asking for help with some of our problems. So, you know, fighting for what's right for your community is absolutely honorable. Fighting to a point where it hurts your community has to stop.
So all three of you have mentioned that issue then, the issue of relationships and maintaining them and making sure that while you stand, as you said, while you stand up for something, you're also not burning bridges. Juanita Perez Williams, you also emphasized children and a focus on children. Let me put this question back to the three of you in kind of a yes or no format, if we could. Do you think the Miner administration has basically cost us state money?
Yes.
Okay. And Joe Nicoletti, same question.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. And unfortunately, I have to agree.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with the three candidates for the Democratic nomination for Syracuse mayor, Joe Nicoletti, Marty Masterpol, and Juanita Perez Williams. Joe Nicoletti, put this next question to you first. What's the most important, and this is kind of a continuation of where we were in the first half, what's the most important new idea that you'd bring to the mayor's office? And let me just say, other than relationship building, because we've heard a lot about that already, what's the most important new idea that you'd bring to the mayor's office for what the city should be doing?
I think it would be restructuring city government in such a way to make it more effective. And I would start with economic development, code enforcement and law, and being involved on a daily basis with all. And also beginning discussions with Joni Mahoney on where we can share services, whether it be snow plowing, paving of our streets, or working together on our parks.
But let me follow up on the shared services piece. It may be the case that if it goes according to schedule anyway, that by the time the general election comes, those plans have already been passed or not voted up.
I'm not convinced that there will be a decision before next year.
Okay. All right. Marty Masterpol, same question. What's the most important new idea that you'd bring to the mayor's office?
I think some new ideas, unfortunately, are some old ideas. You know, we used to have our high school kids mowing our parks. We used to have rec leaders in our parks and in our streets at Public Works, et cetera. We went away from a lot of that to outside contractors, et cetera. We need to control our fate. Sometimes we have to control our destiny and having teaching young people the quality of having employment, whether it's, you know, then mowing the park so that you own it, you love it, it's in your neighborhood. These are the ways to build neighborhoods. And it's an old way, but because we're not doing it anymore, I'd like to make it the next, you know, a new way. Let's go back to things that worked well.
And these would be city jobs, is that correct?
I believe, yes, because from a financial perspective, we're already paying it. We're paying outside contractors. In many cases, it's costing us money to pay outside contractors. Now, with some of the pensions and things that get rolled into that health insurance cost, it complicates the matter. But it wouldn't cost us money to do that.
Juanita Perez Williams, same question. What's the most important new idea that you'd bring to the mayor's office?
I'm going to bring OnTrack back. I think in this day and age of our city, what we're doing to it, how it's growing, who we're attracting, now we have a $4 to $5 billion project coming our way, I-81, that we could leverage the ability to talk about a transit system that could be put together prior to a project to deal with the congestion and traffic and air pollution, to get people into the city and out of the city, and perhaps leverage some private money to continue it past the building of this construction project and start to see economic development along a pathway that has been done in Denver, in San Francisco, in the South. Transit systems are what attract people to cities. They make them desirable. They make you want to live inside a place where you can easily get to work, easily get to school, easily get to parks.
So would this be tell me more about exactly what kind of transit system you are envisioning pushing for. Is it kind of a light rail?
Kind of a light rail, utilizing the track system that we already have that goes around our city, out to Janesville, to the university, to the baseball park, to Liverpool, to Destiny. We already have a system in place that is sitting there, and it's the one thing that divides us from other cities that are continuing to grow. Now, we have the opportunity, I believe, as we move further with the I-81 project, to leverage this particular type of new transit system that could be just a whole new way to get people to come to our city.
Is there, so you've each put forward a new idea here. Is there anything that any of you are hearing that you would disagree with? I mean, we've got pretty big project in mind here with this rail system. You've got city jobs. You've got shared services. Is there anything that you're
restructuring government?
Is there anything that you're hearing from your colleagues that you would say, I disagree with that?
Well,
Marty Masterpol.
You know, talking about finances, and I know that my opponent touched on this earlier, that we want to say, no, I'd love a light rail system. I think that's a great idea. When I was on the city council, I proposed and helped try to finance a stop in Tip Hill, which would have been in the second council district that I represent in the neighborhood, to expand Amtrak. That's good. The issue becomes, how do we pay for it? We have to be realistic in understanding government and finances. Is a private developer going to come in and pay for it? Unfortunately, the owner, who was out of Cooperstown, New York, has passed on. Some of the infrastructure that's downtown is being used for office space. It's not as simple as just bringing it back. I love the idea. I think it worked well, getting to ball games. But just to say it without a plan to pay for it is not responsible.
I thought I offered a plan. The plan is simply this. As we move forward in this billion-dollar project, we look to the government, we look to private development to help leverage this particular project and perhaps get it paid for. I'm with you, Marty. I understand we need to think about revenue, but as I said earlier, we have to have a vision. This is an idea that I believe could work. Other cities have done the same thing. In fact, if you do the history of this particular track, it was something that was supposed to be temporary, and it became a more permanent structure to get people around the community. So my idea is not to just put it out there willy-nilly. I think we could do this, as other states and cities have done, in leveraging multi-billion-dollar projects and hopefully finding ways to have it paid.
Joe Nicoletti, did you want to jump in here?
I think it's a very good idea to discuss, but frankly, my priority is to fix the infrastructure of our city roads before we talk about a rail system. And the people of this city are clamoring. Every door I knock at, every meeting I go to, they are talking about the bad state of their sewers, roads, and curbing. And I think that that should be our number one priority, to focus on the quality of life of our neighborhoods and our people inside the city before we start trying to tackle a major project like that.
So let me jump off on that point that you just made there, and I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll stay with you. I wanted to ask all three of you that, you know, there are a lot of factors that we would all agree are going to be critical to the future of the city. The big four might be economic development, education. I would probably put your emphasis, Juanita Perez Williams, on children into that. Crime reduction and police community relations, and then infrastructure. So if I were to ask you, Joe Nicoletti, as they currently exist, these four things, which one is most critical? Which one is if you have to prioritize them, if this is a triage situation in the emergency room, which one is most critical? It sounds like you're saying the infrastructure is the most critical.
No, I would suggest that it's not just one versus the other, that I think that a good mayor has to learn to balance all these priorities. For example, we need more police. My opponent, Juanita, said the other day that she didn't believe we needed more police. We need to redeploy them. The answer is simply that we don't have enough police on the street. Similarly, we need to spend rebuilding our relationship with the school district, talking about alternative programs to educate our children. Thirdly is we have to be in line. We have to take advantage, and both of my opponents have said it, with the 81 project. We'll not only get money for 81, but we'll have mitigation money to fix the wear and tear on the roads surrounding. But as you know, the federal administration is talking about $1 billion infrastructure. The governor has talked in the past about $500 million infrastructure. We need to be prepared by having our staff prioritizing so when the money starts coming, we can go out there and get it. When you're a mayor, you can't just focus on one area. You have to learn to balance all the balls at one time because everything is going on.
Juanita Perez Williams, is there one thing that you would identify as the most critical, or are you in agreement with Joe Nicoletti that, you know,
I'm in agreement that a mayor never gets the luxury of saying, you know, that they can work on one thing.
Right.
Nor did I say that we don't need more police. What I am offering and what is realistic is that we don't have the revenue for more police, and many of the positions that we have been defunded. So we need to talk about what we can do now, and when we don't have more revenue or more police, we need to figure out how to redeploy what we already have. We have many uniformed and non-uniformed officers that can have a presence to help deter crime. So I'm going to go back to the number one issue being our neighborhoods, Grant. Our neighborhoods need to be a priority. Why? Because they are everything. They are the infrastructure, our kids, our housing stock, jobs, All of that is part of our neighborhoods. And if we don't start focusing on our neighborhoods, then everything else falls from there.
Let me, Marty Masterpool, let me let you get in on this briefly. And then, Joe Nicoletti, I see you want to just jump in real quick. I do want to emphasize, be brief, because I have one more question I want to ask all three of you before we have to stop.
And I will
We've only got a couple minutes.
Who I think crime and police relations, I believe, was one of your top four.
Yeah.
That if we don't solve that issue, we don't have to worry about neighborhoods or schools or whatever the case may be. Crime and making our city safe is the number one priority.
Okay. And Joe Nicoletti, really quick, just a couple seconds.
Juanita, I'm glad you've changed your position on that, because what you did say was, I don't believe we need more police on the street. I think we have plenty.
Okay. Now let me move to the last. It's a quick question for the end. We've got about 2 minutes or so, so take less than a minute in answering this. Marty Masterpool, I'll start with you. Who was the best mayor in the history of the city of Syracuse, and why?
I believe Tom Young. Tom Young was followed. Well, Lee Alexander had issues, as we know, and a lot of things happened under the Alexander administration, both good and bad. But I think Mayor Young came in and was an honorable mayor. I think he made the office respected. I think a lot of growth happened under administration, including Destiny and Franklin Square, et cetera. So I would say Mayor Young.
Joe Nicoletti.
I can't name one. I've worked with the last five mayors, and I believe they all had individual qualities that were beneficial to the city.
Okay. And Juanita Perez-Williams, you have the last word on this.
I didn't work for him, but I've had the pleasure of sitting down with him and know that when I knock on doors, people refer to Mayor Young, how he was in the streets, how he came out of a city hall and he met with people and he listened to people and met their needs. And to me, that's the type of mayor we need again.
So you've left me with one more minute. Thank you. And so what I want to ask again, another very quick question, obviously. What in the last half hour, Marty Masterpool, and just put this in a word or a phrase, have we not discussed that we still need to discuss? What has been left on the table, the most important thing?
Wow. That's an open-ended question. What have we not discussed? I think my office as city auditor and the transparency and things that we've brought to the table.
All right. Joe Nicoletti.
Poverty and how we elevate those among the least of us to a level of quality of life.
And Juanita Perez-Williams.
We have left out our local small businesses. They are the ones that have been hurt most by this administration, in that we have failed to help them grow. We have failed to help them as they hire our local workforce. And we have failed to talk about zoning and how these particular processes have hurt business, hurt jobs, weakened our economy, and made us very vulnerable.
Thank you. Those were the three candidates for the Democratic nomination for Syracuse mayor. The primary election is Tuesday, September 12th. Marty Masterpool, Juanita Perez-Williams, Joe Nicoletti, thanks so much to the three of you for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thanks. It was an honor.
For an additional segment to the conversation you've just heard, please go to WRVO.org and please tune in again to WRVO Public Media for more conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.